I just have to turn the timer.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Stop the timer though.
Oh, when did that come in?
It's okay.
Oh, it was probably from before.
We're calling the meeting to order. Welcome to the Board of Trustees meeting. All meetings are open to the public with the exception of closed session. Members of the audience who wish to address the board on any subject on tonight's agenda or during matters from the public are asked to complete speaker card prior to addressing the board. Speakers are asked to come to the podium, state their name and affiliation to the district for the record, and limit their remarks to no more than 3 minutes, and a maximum of 15 minutes to each subject matter to be invoked at the discretion of the board. The public may also speak to the board on subjects not on tonight's agenda during matters from the public, providing the topic falls within the subject matter jurisdiction of the board. Remarks must be limited to no more than 3 minutes and a maximum of 15 minutes to each subject matter to be invoked at the discretion of the board. As an unagendized item, no response is required from the board or district staff and no action can be taken. However, the board may consider the item for a future meeting. Evergreen School District Board of Trustees meetings proceedings are audio recorded. Audio recordings of the proceedings are posted on the district website under board meetings. Official minutes are written, recorded, and approved by the Board of Trustees. Approved official minutes are also posted on the district website under board meetings. Okay, at this time I'd like to have our call the roll call. Jim?
Present.
Apology?
Present.
Mila?
Present.
Amani is not.
She's absent.
She's absent. Myself, present. Kathy's present.
I'm present, yes.
Okay, now I'd like to have a flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I could take a minute.
Sure.
Yes.
Yes.
We have some new administrators who have already been appointed, and they are here tonight, and I would like to have them stand up and introduce them to you. We will start with Christy Franchina, who is going to be an assistant principal at Leyva. We have Mark Stolen, who is going to be an assistant principal at Kennedy. And by the way, he was a Norwood and Quimby grad.
That's me.
Yes.
My student.
Brian's student. That's awesome.
Still
sorry.
And we have Steve Fowles, who is in the back. He is our supervisor of maintenance. Taken Pete Grassi's place.
Oh,
so, thank you.
So this is part of the new team, and I think maybe next week we'll have Tanya Bailey here and introduce her to you as well. Next month, I should say, not next week. Next month.
Thank you. Welcome. Okay. At this point, we have 2 matters from the public, 2.1 comments from the California School Employees Association, Chapter 3432, President.
I'm not seeing anyone here, so I think we can.
Yeah. Okay, then we go on to comments from the Evergreen Teachers Association. Ryan Whitney.
Good evening, and is this on? I can be loud if it's not, I can't tell. In keeping with my sort of philosophy that I like to be the part closing the loop, the feedback loop, and making sure that board members get the perspective from the ETA. We did have a special negotiations day set up on June 7th, and it was very interesting because we were set to go into fact-finding, and the request was made, could we have a special meeting similar to what we did, I think it was 13, 14, where we had somebody from school services come in, somebody from the CTA, what used to be called the NOD department, and that maybe we could do something creative. The assumption that we made at the time was because, and I don't want to get into who, but because it was repeatedly said that this was something the district really wanted to do, we assumed that something was different. And when the exact same thing was slid across the table that was slid across the table in previous settings, for me it doesn't matter. I'm a full-time release president. I can come and to meetings all the time, anytime. These were four classroom teachers that were pulled out of their class on the Thursday before school starts to waste their time. So it was unfortunate. I was given the feedback back that the district was hoping we would be going back and forth, and which is a part of negotiations, but movement is also a part of negotiations. So that was disappointing. I won't get into all the machinations around the date of fact-finding. If you're curious, please reach out, and I'd be glad to share at least our perspective. I assume you know the date is September 17th, which is good in the sense that we need to move this forward because we need to come to an end. It is very bad from my perspective. I do not claim to be a political expert, but I do know that we are hoping to have a parcel tax on the November ballot and fact-finding on September 17th, I think that's right, 17th. Worries me a great deal. I mean, obviously, if there's a settlement on September 17th, which can happen, the two sides talk. I always think of it as like a courtroom, but it's not really. But the two sides present their information, and then there is time for what we would call negotiations, although it's outside the regular collective bargaining process because we're in the impasse process. If that's not successful, again, I'm very worried.
We got word this week that September 17th and 18th, if needed, will be the dates for fact-finding. It will take place here at the district office. And we've also had some conversation and let the association know we're very much willing and interested to sit down and continue talking and having those conversations at any time.
So that's on September 17th?
Yes.
18th or just the 17th?
I think it's... The 2 days are reserved. If no agreement is reached on the 17th, then we have time on the 18th.
Thank you.
How long does it typically take for the fact finding to happen? In other words, to go through their due diligence?
You know, I have not been through the process before, so I'll have a better idea after the 17th.
Comment if appropriate, if not, that's fine.
You could answer the question.
Yeah, I mean, from here, from so the interesting thing about fact-finding is there is no set legal timeline for the neutral to make their decision. So you've got the three-party panel, and the neutral is the one that, but once they make their decision, my understanding is there's a 10-day sunshine period, but the unknown is the person could take a week to deliberate and put forward what they propose to do, which is completely non-binding, or they could take a month. So that's the part that...
My question had more to do with the actual, my understanding with fact finding, they actually go through books, right? They get evidence somehow to come to a...
Well, that's what happens
conclusion.
On the 17th. There's
right.
A presentation and potentially the 18th.
And that's typically a day, possibly 2 days, to go through that due diligence. That's the question.
Yes.
Okay, great.
And then the person on their own,
right. Then they go,
as long as they want.
Right. Then they go through their whole assessment. Very good. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
So a day or two to go through the actual
data.
Data finding, if you will.
Data finding,
but
we won't actually hear it
until
they
complete
their own assessment. Okay, so.
And we have our team ready to accommodate that, I guess.
Yeah, oh, yes.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Okay, 2.3 comments from the public. And we have Chris Corbis.
Hi, my name is Chris Corbis. And, I want to speak to the very issue that Brian brought up, and that's passing the parcel tax. And that's number one. That should be the number one concern to get going, because it pays for what? Class size, STEM, school safety, and technology. And without that, then the negotiations is really in deep doo-doo, if you might use them in some French words there. Really encourage the board and the administration to, other than the fact-finding coming up, to see if the ETA is really willing to meet beforehand to come up with a détente, at least, if not labor peace, because the the narrative out there right now to pass a parcel tax is not that great. It's not that positive. So if we can get to a more of a positive narrative instead of the negative, look what the district's doing to me from the teacher's kind of point of view, it would go a long ways in passing the very thing that will balance budget, because our budget is based on our 3 years of the parcel tax not being there. If it is there, then it makes a big difference in our final actuals at the end of the years coming up, and especially the third year, which is always a, for as long as I've worked, it's always been a draconian situation. It was worked out because of doing some good things with budgeting and making good decisions about how to spend money. But in this case, if you can work out at least a detente so that we can work together in order to pass the parcel tax.
Thank you, Chris. Okay, we're going on to the 3 point. The consent items.
Okay. 3.1. 3.1, approval of board meeting minutes, July 11, 2018. 3.2, approval of personnel report. 3.3, ratification of contracts. 3.4, ratification of July warrant list. 3.5, ratification of facility use agreements. 3.6, approval of developer fee report, fiscal year 2017-18.
There is an item. Brian would like to speak to 3.2.
So I'm never sure how to do that because it gets pulled and then
approval of personnel report.
So
you've pulled it. Now
okay.
We can vote.
So the approval. So what I'll amend my motion to approve consent 3.1 through 3.7. Pulling 3.2 off, and we'll handle 3.2 separately.
Yes.
I have one clarification. My understanding, are all concerns about the minutes for July 11th been addressed?
Yes.
Okay, so there's no question about the minutes for July 11th. Okay, other than that, fine.
Okay, so
moved
in second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye, so the chair is aye. That was approved. 3.1, skipping over 3.2. 3.3, 3.4, 3.5, 3.6, and 3.7. And now, Mr. Wu, would like to speak to 3.2.
Thank you. Very quickly, just the same question I asked a year ago, which I think is, I never presume to tell you what to do, but I think it's a good question to ask, and if that is, are we fully staffed with the start of school year less than 2 weeks old? Thank you.
We are still hiring a multiple subject teacher, and we are still in need of a language. We may be in need of a language arts teacher. That's a little bit iffy. And special ed, we're staffed.
Yes, we are.
So we're staffed, in, with the exception of a multiple subject and a language arts.
So at 18 schools, 2 positions.
Correct.
Great.
Yep. Hi. One comment. I see Ms. Antrower repeating.
Yes.
She was my plus son's first grade teacher. So. Happy retirement. Mm-hmm. Godspeed.
Okay, so we've done that. So now we move on 3.2.
So moved.
It's been moved. Is the second? It's moved to the second. All those in favor?
Aye.
The chair is aye. Motion passes. Okay, 4. 4.1 is the first read. Board policy 2140, evaluation of the superintendent.
When the board met with the CSBA representative in July and we talked about the process for superintendent evaluation, one of her recommendations was that the board adopt a policy around it. And this policy here is from CSBA. This is a first read. There's no action required. It will come back for approval next month.
So for the record, did we not have anything in our board policies in this regard?
I would have to go back and look at it.
I thought we had something, and if not, great, then this will fill the gap. If so, I'm just curious on the differences.
Well, that would be us to look at it this month. And then we come back and then the following we would say we accept it as it is or maybe alter it.
So I know we didn't have 2140. And 2140, CSBA has standard numbers that correspond with standard topics.
And this is verbatim CSBA sponsored, right? So, if that is the case, then because of the changing laws and changing guidelines, it's best to adopt the latest that CSBA has.
I have a feeling that a portion of this was actually embedded in the contract. As opposed to
policy.
Policy, yeah.
Correct.
So maybe that's where we're seeing it. Good,
okay.
Thank you.
So we'll come back next month and we'll look at whether we're going to adopt it or any changes. Okay, we're looking at 4.2, approval of 45-day budget revision for 2018-19.
So the budget that the board adopted in June was based on the governor's May revise, and after that was approved by the board, the legislature, and the governor signed off on the new budget. Ed Code requires that the board come back and update that budget. And so Mary, our interim CBO, has done that. And she's, one of the documents in here shows you what the impact has been on our budget. So in essence, the governor went from a 3% COLA to a 3.7% super COLA, and he took part of the one-time money that was allocated for 18-19 and put that into ongoing funds. So in the long run, it's better for us, but he reduced the amount of one-time funds that we're gonna get this year. The impact, and you can see that the June 14th budget adoption, if you look the third year out, where we are relative to our required 3%, we were at 1.7 million over. And with this revise, we're at 1.8 million over. So it's, in essence, $100,000. A little more
over
than that.
Over as in deficit spending.
No.
Additional money.
Additional money. Over our 3% required reserve. Right. Yes. Sorry.
$29,000.
So
I'll move to accept the recommendation.
Okay. There's a second. Discussion.
So the discussion that I have, if I could speak to that, is we were very pleased to hear last meeting, I believe it was, that there was a change and to the positive, so that instead of being $3 million in the hole, we're now million plus in the black for year three, and now we're seeing another 129. Not a lot of money by any means, but certainly positive.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So what I had brought up back then was to put together a priority list of things. We made some pretty tough decisions in the past year on things that were cut. And what I would like to have, and not to say that we're going to vote on it, you know, right away or anything, because it's prudent to, let's have a wait and see, but I would like to see if we could put together a priority list of things that we can bring back if the budget allows us to do so. Because we made those cuts with the assumption we were going to be $3 million in the hole, you know, 3 years, and now that's not the same anymore. So if it's possible to reverse some of that and improve the situation for our classrooms, I would like to do that, but it first takes a priority list to do that.
Okay, and my gut is waiting to see how many kids actually show up, how many don't show up.
And
because that means less money the following year. So
absolutely.
That money will just be what we may need to float us a little bit longer. So, I mean, I hear you.
But completely
I'm also concerned about the numbers that are about to show
all
up.
All I'm asking for is a proposed priority list. That's all I'm asking for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If that pleases the board, then maybe we can get some preliminary. And understanding that it's always a moving target, right? But just to say that given the fact that we did reduce certain things, if we were to bring things back, here's the order that we would bring them back.
And indeed, when the business case was presented, the cuts, one of the criteria for cuts was what can we bring back. easily, right? As opposed to, for example, a school site closure. We thought we couldn't bring back, but let's say we had other services or programs that we had to trim, we could bring them back more easily. That was one of the criteria that we evaluated the cuts against. So we should have that, okay?
So if it requires a motion, then fine, but my recommendation and my request is that we have a priority list of cut programs or cut services, that if we're in a position to bring things back, that we have a list to work on.
So we can put a list together, but I want to draw your attention to that red number on the 45-day revise update down at the bottom. That's deficit. We are deficit, no, $9.9 million. We're deficit spending $9.9 million. In that third year, we are overspending the budget by $9.9 million.
Understood. And again, this is just a priority list. It's not saying that we're going to make any moves on that at this point. But to have it, it's better than to not have it. It doesn't commit us to anything.
Do we need a motion?
Well, I think it's just a request. I mean, I...
Do we have consensus that that is what we want?
I don't see this type of consensus. Personally, I think we wait and see what happens when school opens and we see what the fallout is.
Well, what the parcel tax is going to be.
Absolutely.
We just need to kind of wait and see. I understand what you're saying, Jim. We did have to make very difficult cuts,
mm-hmm.
you know, and people are attached to those cuts, and I feel you on that. But we still have to be responsible for keeping ourselves in the red, and we just got to a point, we just got to that point, so we're already deficit spending the third year out, so I think we need to just wait and see.
What harm does having a priority list do? What is negative about having a priority list?
I just would rather have it when it's gonna benefit us.
Okay, so it sounds like we're not ready for that.
When that list can benefit us, then that's when I would like to have a priority list. If we have a priority list, that might send a message that some things are gonna happen, and we don't even know what that could be right now, so I'm not real comfortable with having a list when I don't really know how things are gonna pan out. And it just might send the wrong message. And we've been through a storm. And I want to see us kind of turn the corner a little bit before we have to go back through something we might not need to go through. So I just wanna wait and see how things pan out. Let's look at the CVS day, let's look at what happens with the parcel tax and how things pan out before we start even. And then if things are going well and we start doing great and a bunch of money fall down in our lap, then hey, I'm all for that list. But to do that right now is kind of like a little too soon.
Okay, so it's been moved and second.
There was no more.
Was just discussion.
3.2
is done.
Oh, right?
For
the,
yeah.
Yeah. 4.2. So we have to move the approval.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Second.
And second.
Yeah.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Show the chair is aye. Mm-hmm. Motion passes. Okay, now we'll go to 4.3. Approval of resolution walk and roll.
Board members, in the interest of time, I will eschew the whereases, if that's okay. Let's go to the result, but for context. This is an extension of our very intimate relationship with the city of San Jose with regard to the walk and roll program, where we have been leaders. We were the first district to go district-wide with the walk and roll program. This year, we're asking be the result. The Board of Trustees designates Wednesday as the Walk to School Wednesday district-wide throughout our schools for the 2018-2019 school year in support of the walk and roll program.
So once again, I'll move to approve.
Second.
Again, question I have is this come to us every year, and in the past we've asked about, it does say walk and roll,
mm-hmm.
which means bicycles and such.
Yeah.
We have talked about putting bicycle racks at schools. Has any movement been done with that at all? I know that there was some pushback on that.
There was some pushback. So this, again, would be a school-specific request. So what the folks with the Walk and Roll program have offered is to build bike racks as one of their site improvement projects. It's dependent on individual schools' desire to have that on campus. What we encountered in the past is there have been some concerns about having bike racks on campus for safety reasons, for worries about people biking during trafficked areas and so on. So the only reason we don't have that at this point is because as of August 2018, no school has formally requested that. Now, if a school specifically wanted one, they could have put the request through me to the Walk and Roll program or directly, and they have indicated they would provide funds for that.
So I guess what I'm saying is the board had indicated back then an interest to try to encourage schools to do it, right?
Yes.
So we were kind of giving a very kind of a little nudge to the schools, and we understand that there are safety issues and such, but there are also traffic issues as well that, who knows, may be able to be alleviated to some extent if kids can ride their bikes to school as opposed to being driven to school.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess what I'm saying is, you know, with all due respect to the principals, because I guess they're the ones, and the PTAs maybe, in the past at least, it's been the recommendation that the board to have the schools really give some serious consideration to the positive impacts of that.
Yeah, and for the record, we have encouraged, in my conversations with principals, I've encouraged them to consider this, again, given that it's been an offer from Walk and Roll, the Walk and Roll program, to fully fund some of these projects. The other consideration is, schools have indicated a priority or prioritization over different kinds of projects. In some cases, it was crosswalks. In other cases, it was other safety measures around the school. So I think it's been a matter of, if we have access to some resources, we'd rather have access instead of why. I think it's been part of it.
Are they being offered? Are those other resources being offered?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a long list of programs that schools can access to the Walk and Roll program. And in fact, I was just working on this year's annual report, and I've got the list of all the things that we're incorporating and that we've incorporated this past year. And it's quite varied school by school. And there's a lot of other things that we haven't taken advantage of yet that we could, but again, prioritizing, they've chosen some of the things that they've chosen instead of bike racks. To that end, I personally, as their liaison for this program, I have encouraged it. I personally think it's a great idea, but it's ultimately not my call. But I think we're going to learn.
Well, you got it.
Okay.
And I know a few schools have taken bike racks, such as Cedar Grove, Norwood Creek, Obie Whaley. So
Great.
They have installed them, and I believe Aleva also has some bike racks in there.
And I think, you know, not to be greedy, but the fact that the city is offering us, amenities, if you will,
yes.
We should take advantage of it.
Yeah, and that's a great point. But again, I don't think it's a matter of greed so much as taking advantage
right.
of the programs. And like I say, it's not an unlimited pot. It is, we have a certain amount that we can apply for, and they can grant depending on how much we've taken advantage of as a district.
Sure.
And like I say, I think a big part of that is we have taken advantage of an awful lot of their program offerings. And so, like I said, in terms of if we'd rather have this versus this, they tend to be going for the more safety-based or sidewalk or
mm-hmm.
like, things like that.
If it improves the safety of our students getting to school,
yeah.
Great. Absolutely.
Awesome. All right. So, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Show the chair's aye. Motion passes. Thank you.
So, if we have taken advantage and we have gotten some things already, I think it'd be good to say something about that.
Yeah.
That we have this relationship with the city. Here are some of the improvements that have been made at the different schools. I think it's a story that we should be proud to tell.
In fact, I was talking to the coordinator of the Walk and Roll program. We are going to be doing a media release probably in September,
okay.
Highlighting the relationship. They wanted to see how this went before they decided sort of how we were or when we were going to go. And again, I was just writing it up this morning for our annual report.
Beautiful.
So it's absolutely being chronicled and will be shared.
Okay, thank you. We'll move on to personnel. Item 1, approval of provisional internship permit for a special education teacher.
Good evening. So I'm here tonight because we need your approval for a young man teacher named Mario Rocha, who is now in the intern program and will become one of our RSB teachers. Just a little side note about Mario. He began and went through our school system as a student, K through 8, and he's also been employed with us for many years as a special education instructional assistant as he put himself through college and into this program and on to be a special education teacher and wants to be in our community.
Awesome.
So we are very proud and to offer this permit to him to get him on his way. So I ask for your approval.
Absolutely, and as his former AP at Quimby Oak and as his principal at Matsumoto, I move that we accept Mario as a what?
Provisional intern. Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor? Show the chair as I motion passes.
Thank you. We're very excited to have him on board.
That's very nice. Excellent. One of our former students. Okay, and I guess now we go down to any informational items?
The CBO search is live with school services. So they have a timeline that they follow there for the next 4 weeks. The job will be posted. They'll come up with a slate of candidates. They do all the background check and the initial vetting. We're hoping we'll have somebody in place by the end of October. In the meantime, Mary has agreed to keep Evergreen as a priority. She's had some opportunities with some other assignments, and she said she would do them as long as Evergreen could be a priority. And I, you know about the fact-finding dates, so that's it for informational items.
Okay, so now we have future meetings, our next meeting. Well, we're going to be holding a meeting.
So it'll be a closed session meeting.
Closed session on August the 16th at 5:30. And then our next meeting will be on September the 13th, October the 18th, November the 8th, and December the 13th.
Yeah, the October meeting is the third Thursday of the month.
Okay.
Because there, I'll be at a meeting.
So
October 18th.
October 18th.
Okay. So
that's it.
That's it.
No report out on
closed session. No closed session. Okay. So the move for permanent. Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.